What's up, Duke fans, and welcome to another episode of Duke Blue Central. Duke is on to the Sweet 16. We live to play another game, at least one more game, in this March Madness tournament. It is a happy, happy day for Duke Blue Devil fans all across the country. Coming to you a few days after Duke's beatdown of James Madison in the second round. This was a game a lot of people were trending to pick James Madison. James Madison has been a trendy underdog pick this entire tournament, and plenty of people thought that they were going to knock off the Blue Devils just because of the way Duke had finished the end of the year, and Duke shut that down within the first 5 minutes of this game. The final score ended up being 93-55, almost 40-point win for Duke versus a James Madison team who won 32 games this year and was the hottest team in the country coming into this. And another team also who had just shut down a great offensive team like Wisconsin. Wisconsin this year, typically Wisconsin and really a lot of Big Ten programs, known for their defense and physicality. Wisconsin was the opposite this year. They were known for having a high-powered offense. They held Wisconsin to 20 points in the first half of their game. Jared McCain alone had more than 20 points in the first half of this game. Duke came out with an energy in this game that I don't think we've seen them come out with before. We've had good starts, don't get me wrong. A lot of talk has been made of how Duke has started games this year, and certainly we've had probably more games than, definitely more games than we'd liked where we've come out flat-footed. We've had other games where we started really strong, but this game, no game we've played this season compared to the level of energy that Duke had when this when the ball was tipped up there in Brooklyn. Immediately, there was just a barrage of offense and intense physical defense. The defense was so physical in this game. And in a game where we talked about in the preview how physical James Madison plays defense and how physical, you know, our upcoming game against Houston, a lot has been made of this Duke's team physicality, and I think people don't remember the size of this Duke team is a big advantage. Flip is a 7-foot guy that's big. Even our guards, Proctor is around 6'5". Even guys like McCain, who I think are about 6'2", have more bulk to them than more 6'2 guards do, and they certainly put in more effort on the rebounding and defensive side of the ball than most do. A lot of is going to be made about the offense in this game, but this really, the lead and everything was somewhat built on Duke's ability to just shut down everything James Madison was able to do. Their star player, Terrence Edwards Jr., had picked up two fouls immediately, like 2 minutes into the game. That was a huge blow to James Madison, but not even that would have mattered the way that Duke was playing. I mean, three-point shooting, we did not see a shot we didn't like in this game. We ended shooting 50% from three. First half, we shot 44%. It even got better in the second half. We went 8 for 18 in the first half from three, 6 for 10 in the second half from three. Unbelievable shooting splits. And on the offensive side of the ball, it all has to start with one Jared McCain, who finished this game with 30 points, 5 rebounds, an assist and a steal to add on to that. McCain was just unstoppable today, and there's no two ways about it. And I've seen a lot of tweets about this, and I agree. Like, the way Jared McCain is playing to end this year, if we get even one more of a performance like this, it would just be a miracle for that kid to come back to Durham, because his draft stock is going to go through the roof if he continues to shoot the ball like this throughout the tournament. A lot of people don't realize in that first game he had a good performance against Vermont, but he was a few shots away from falling from having a high point performance like this one. Not to this extent, but if you'll remember back to that Vermont game, there were a couple threes he took that went all around the rim and did everything but fall. Two or three of those fall down. We're talking about him having one of the best two-game stretches in an NCAA tournament for a Duke player. He broke the record for threes made by a Duke player in the NCAA tournament. I believe it's a Duke player. It was either Duke player or Duke freshman. He went 8 for 11 from threes. Just ridiculous. I think 6 of those came in a row. I think he was 6 for 6 and finally missed one. First basket of the game was a Jared McCain three, which should have been an indication of how this game was going to go. I don't know. I don't even know if there are stats that exist like this, but it feels like when Jared hits that first three early, gets it down, the snowball just starts to happen, and he's just has one of those games. This was one of those games for Jared, and I'm happy it happened this game. I think, woke the country up to, we know Duke was disappointing at times this year. We know we're coming into this tournament as a 4 seed, not perhaps what Duke is used to, which is crazy how you can build a program like that. But we, I think, woke the country up to this is why we were the preseason number 2 team. The way that Duke played against James Madison is the way that all of the pollsters were thinking that Duke could play. And I think maybe it was a little, I don't know, you can talk about preseason polls all day long. It's going to take a while for young guys to get into a new system. But man, Duke right now, Vermont, I think a lot of the game was just shaking off the dust of not playing for so long. This game was one that they looked like they had hit their gear, and if this is the way Duke is going to play for the rest of the tournament, nobody will beat us. And I say that because, obviously, we're not going to play this good. I mean, we're not going to hit 50% of our threes every game for the rest of the tournament. I would just adore that if we did, because that would mean we're probably cutting down the nets in Arizona. But look, these games are just very special to watch. This was the most fun Duke game by far I've watched this year. There have been some other really fun ones. Virginia comes to mind. But like, just how in hand this game so fast for Duke was just absurd. And to have this type of game in a second round of the NCAA tournament, let me remind you, like, all of these teams in the tournament are deserving and really good. There is not, even these 16 seeds, the one seeds roll over them, but even the past 2 years, I mean, 2 years in a row, not counting this year, 2 years in a row, we saw a 16 seed upset a one seed. Nobody is in this tournament because of subpar basketball. Even the guys that make runs at the end of the year to win their conference tournament, and especially once you get to that round of 32, these are teams that have not only earned a spot into the field of 64, but who have also won a game, and in the case of James Madison, beat a higher seed than them. And for Duke to just come out and just embarrass them and make it look like they didn't belong in the same stratosphere as them, that's just something you don't see a lot in second round games of the NCAA tournament. And I know it happened a couple times this tournament, even this year around the horn with UConn and Purdue in particular, just slapping up on teams. It kind of shows you how, you know, this year, the power balance may not have been as widespread as we thought it was, certainly as I thought it was. I thought this tournament would be more wide open considering how much change has happened in the rankings and how opinions have changed on different teams, but it's been pretty chalky so far. NC State and Clemson are the two surprise seed teams. Clemson is a 6 seed, so that's not like a massive surprise. NC State's a big one, definitely. They wouldn't have been in the tournament 2 weeks ago had they not won the ACC tournament, and they've made a great run, albeit with a somewhat favorable draw. But, I mean, look, they had to beat Texas Tech in the first round. That's no easy task. And then Oakland, as Cinderella as they are, were a dangerous team, and they had to conquer them. And all you can do is beat whoever's in front of you, so credit to them. And I'm happy that the ACC, once again, is seems to be getting some respect in the public eye for having a quarter of the Sweet 16 be represented from the same conference, considerably more than the other conferences around basketball, even though the ACC is constantly reminded about how bad it is and how much the conference is going downhill and how much everybody's going to leave, and all that's mainly about football. But and yet here we are year after year where the ACC overperforms while other conferences underperform, and the teams in the ACC know when to turn it on and know how to win in March. And we're seeing that on full display right now as we've got four teams in the Sweet 16 remaining, with several of them in pretty good positions to move on. I mean, yeah, we'll see. I don't know how many favorites. Duke is not a favorite against Houston. Clemson will probably likely not be a favorite. Neither will NC State. North Carolina will be a favorite in their game against Alabama, I would predict. But we'll see. I mean, there's a chance here where a couple of these ACC teams win. We're going to be facing off against each other eventually. But anyway, back to this game. It's hard to even break down how many positives there were. Tyrese Proctor had an awesome game. Put up a lot more shots, which I've been saying for a while on this podcast. I'd love to see Proctor get more shots. He shot it efficiently, 7 for 15, 4 for 10 from three. It's obviously a split. I mean, Jared went 8 for 11. It's just ridiculous, but 4 for 10. Let me remind you, that's still 40% from three. A number we'll take. Also finished with 5 assists, 3 rebounds for a total of 18 points for Proctor. Jeremy Roach did have a scary injury at one point where it looked like he dislocated his pinky. They were able to get that sorted out on the bench. He's in a lot of pain. Even heard reports he was getting nauseous for how much pain he was in, but was able to check back into the game. Only shot the ball 8 times. That's obviously part of it. Well, went 5 for 8, hit a 3, hit all his free throws, and facilitated in this game more than maybe I've ever seen Jeremy facilitate. 7 assists, 15 points, 7 assists. That is a great night for a point guard. But it's just, we're used to seeing Proctor kind of being the main ball handler, running it up the court and passing it and distributing. We saw a little bit of Jeremy doing that more today. And I wonder if part of that's to kind of get the guys some breathers, because all these guys are playing so many minutes. But he distributed the ball really well. Yeah, great stuff from Jeremy. Flip responded from his 3-point outing. He did only get 21 minutes in this game. Some of it was due to he got in a little bit of foul trouble when the game was well in hand, and we just sat him down. He only played 21 minutes. But he went 6 for 8 very efficiently, had 5 rebounds, 4 assists, finished with a block and 2 steals as well for 14 points. Great game from Flip. I tell you, man, Flip has been so aggressive on defense over these past few games. He has looked like a natural just rim protector out there. The amount of shots he's affecting, the past few games, he's affected more shots down low than I think I've seen him affect the whole season in individual games. He's just stepped up his defense when he knows it's win or go home. And that's been great from Kyle. It's exactly what we need from him. Awesome stuff. I'm in the camp that he had a great first game too. It just the game, I mean, they were just doubling him up, and he made the right decision, passed out of stuff we won. So I don't want to say this is like a huge rebound game, because I think he had a good first game, but definitely in the point total, scoring 14 is good stuff. Also, only took 1 3 in this one. I'm not even remembering when that happened, but something we've also seen in this tournament is Flip has just not taken nearly as many threes as he normally does. And now part of it is he's definitely establishing himself in the low block first, which is awesome and exactly what we need. But even when he gets the ball on the perimeter, he's not looking for that three as much. And I wonder if part of it, if he knows the severity of the game is, you miss too many of those, give away too many possessions, you lose, you go home. You're not playing another game for Duke again. Part of that could be affecting the outside shot, thinking getting inside. But even in these first two games, we've really seen Duke kind of be a guard-led team. Like the ability of the guards hitting their shots has opened up Flip's game. Like even in this James Madison game, Flip really got going after Jared McCain and Proctor had hit some shots. Jeremy had hit some shots. And then it's like, the defense started to sag off Flip to go get the guards, and then it was like, okay, Flip was getting to the basket at will then. I mean, he went on a tear just dominating on the inside because the guards had shown the ability to hit a lot of shots from the outside, and they tried to stop the bleeding there, and it just made it worse because now Flip is going one-on-one, and most of the time when Flip's one-on-one with a smaller defender in the post, it's going to end with two points for Duke, or even 2 points in an and one. Great game from Flip. Mark only had 2 points in this game, finished 1 for 6. Not an awesome performance from him, but still great defensively. And this didn't feel like a game. You know, when the guards are shooting the ball like they are, you're trying to get them the most shots as possible. So I don't have a lot of negative things to say about Mark. Great defense, as always. Very versatile player. Sean Stewart and Ryan Young actually got 15 minutes each in this one. Good minutes from them. Sean Stewart able to pull down 7 rebounds, which led the team. He leads the team in rebounds even when he's on the court for 10 minutes. His athleticism is crazy. He threw down some really good dunks from some lobs late in the game, but just great to get those guys minutes. TJ Power also came into this game and hit a three, which is what you love to see. And Jalen Blake's had good minutes in this game once again. His minutes were cut short due to kind of an crazy-looking injury in the second half when the game was in hand. Went up for a dunk and kind of landed on his head when he came back, but he was able to get up and shake it off, go to the locker room, didn't check back in. But it's been interesting to see how quickly we're going to Blake's somewhat on the bench in the tournament just as a defensive starter, and he gets steals, man. He knows he's got a knack for finding the ball, and he did it in this one. So overall, just I don't have enough positives to say about the way Duke plays. The big positive takeaways, I guess you would say, is just outside shooting. Obviously, we were able to hit open shots. We hit most of our open shots and even contested shots. All the guards were shooting well. It wasn't just Jared. Tyrese shot the ball well today from the outside and driving the ball. I don't even know what to say. That's a good one. And obvious. And I think the second one, which is maybe a bigger deal moving forward, because you're not going to have every night where you just shoot the lights out of the ball. Second one moving forward would be how physical Duke was willing to be against another physical team, which we'll get into in a minute. We're about to play the most physical team. So James Madison, I think, was actually a really good warm-up for this team to compete against Houston. We're going to need to bring the same level of intensity, physicality, attention to detail against this Houston team. But just how physical Duke has played in their first two games of the tournament has been really encouraging. There's been a lot of talk about the dogness of this team, or the gutsiness, the drive to win, and they have just starched both of their opponents in that category, especially JMU. I don't know. Hopefully you guys were able to watch the first JMU Wisconsin game, their first round game. JMU just took it to Wisconsin immediately. It was like they had arrived on the scene and they were going to take this game. And I'm sure they had the same similar mentality against Duke in this one. But this time it was Duke that we shut them out immediately and let them know you're not winning this game no matter what you do. Whatever you do is powerless against what we're bringing. And it infected every part of the game, the shooting, but especially the rebounding, the defense, the fight for the ball, just incredible stuff. And Duke's defense throughout this tournament is something to watch. James Madison averages over 80 points per game, and we held them to 55, which is their lowest point total on the year, I think, by a wide margin. And this is the defense is really something to look at here for this Duke team. I think everybody gets caught up in the talent, rightly so. Have a lot of talented guys on this team. But a thing we can come back to is this Duke team really knows how to defend. And for all we talked about at the beginning of the year of not having a quote-unquote true rim protector, even though Kyle has been that over the first two games, this team just really knows how to get after it and defend. And they're not a team that is like too aggressive where they're trying to turn you over. I think that actually worked in Duke's favor. James Madison is a high pressure, trying to create turnovers team, and we were able to kind of flip that. And once we beat the pressure, we didn't wait around for them to catch up. We just continued to attack and get to the basket, get to the line. We also shot 18 free throws in this game. Get to the line and just attack them after beating pressure, and that in a way, James Madison's pressure backfired against Duke, but just their ability to just fight was so evident in this game, and it's something we're going to need moving forward. So that's kind of all I want to say about that one. Again, biggest takeaways, biggest positives, outside shooting, and just physicality in the overall game, but especially when it comes to things like rebounding and defense. So let's talk about our next opponent. We will be facing Houston in Dallas in the Sweet 16. It's sure to be kind of an away game feeling for Duke. But sometimes in these tournaments for Duke, every game is an away game just because of how many people want to see the Blue Devils fail. We are a very hated team in college basketball, in case you hadn't realized that. But yeah, so it's going to be an away game. And Houston is no joke. I mean, their team is also a 30-win team, and they've only lost four games this entire year, one of those coming in the conference tournament. So, I mean, just looking at their regular season, they lost three games the entire year in the Big 12, which is a no-joke, a good conference. I don't think they've done as well in the tournament as people expected. But you look around there, there's a couple teams left in the Big 12 as well. I'm trying to think off the top. I mean, you've got Iowa State. You've got them. Is that it? That might be it, but I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, you got some Big 12 teams left. It's a no joke serious conference, and to run the gauntlet and only lose three games in your regular season is incredible. But breaking down how you beat them, how does Duke go about climbing this mountain of Houston? First, you need to know a few things about how they play, and I'm really going to hone in on one. There are, I think, two big factors that this Houston team is built on. And it's defense and overall physicality. This Houston team is the most physical team in college basketball this season, and I think it's by a wide margin. All of their guys are really athletic. They actually don't have a guy that's over 6'9", I believe, that plays a significant amount of minutes, but they are strong, athletic, and will punch and fight and claw every step of the way and make your life miserable on the defensive end. They will defend like crazy. That's definitely what this Houston team hangs their hat on. They've shown the ability to score against somewhat lower competition, but when it comes to those big games, they're looking to punch you in the mouth and ride that kind of all the way to victory. If you pull up their season here, again, like I said, three losses in the regular season, one to Kansas, one to Iowa State, one to TCU, and they lost again to Iowa State in the Big 12 tournament, and they lost bad. It was 69-41. But if you look at all their scores, they show the ability to score, but it's not uncommon to see a game in the low 70s to 60s with them because of the way that they play. It's just how it is. It's how they play. Also, the other big part of their game is their point guard Jamal Sheed. I can't remember how to say his name, but he is for sure Houston's go-to guy. There's no question about it. If there's one guy from an offensive standpoint you need to worry about if you're Duke's defense, it's him. He leads the team in assists. He orchestrates everything, and he's also, I believe, he's the leading scorer. If he's not, he's close up there. He also looks to score for himself as well as facilitate for his teammates. If there's a guy on the team that you can say, if you shut down him, Duke probably wins, it's him. If we can shut down him, it's a game where if we're playing good defense as well, Duke can probably win. So, but again, so the things they hang their hat on, physicality, defense. They might be the best defensive team in the country. It's always weird saying that because when you look at stats, like teams like Virginia always come up early, but that's because of the style that they play and the clock manage it, and it's somewhat impossible to score a bunch against them just because of the way the game flows. But Houston is more physical, but that level of defense. So stronger, better athletes, but the same level of intensity and intentionality to defense that a team like Virginia plays. Hang their hat on that, and on the other side of the ball, it's stopping Jamal Shedd and his ability to create and score for himself, as well as finding his teammates in good positions. But I don't particularly think like the Houston offense is anything Duke needs to spend the vast majority of their attention on. I think the majority of preparation this week will go into how can Duke score against Houston. And I just want to point out an interesting stat I looked at while I was looking through their losses. You kind of want to look at the times that this Houston team was beat. What did the other team do that was able to defeat them? And so they've lost four games. In three of their four losses, the opposing team has shot 40% from three or better. Three of their four losses, the opposing team has shot 40% or better. Now, one of their losses, I think they shot lower. It was a low three-point shoot. I think it was their first loss to Iowa State. Iowa State only shot like 25 to 30% from three. They only took, I think, seven or eight threes in that game. But in the majority of games they've lost this year, it's been because the other team caught a burner and shot 40. There was even one game where a team shot 56% from three on them. It's hard to beat a team that shoots threes at that rate and sees a lot go in and makes a lot. But that's been a key, I think, to defeating them. Now can Duke beat them if we shoot less than 40% from three? I think yes. I still think this Duke team is probably the most pure talented team they've played. They've played teams like Kansas, so it's hard to compare that. Kansas certainly has a ton of talent as well, but as far as like NBA draft talent, Duke is probably the most talented team they've played. So there's a level there where even if we're not shooting, like let's say we shoot 38, 35% from three, I still think Duke can win this game with the level if they play really good defense. But the formula is out that to beat them, you absolutely need to hit your threes. And I'm hoping, praying, fingers crossed that Duke did not just burn up all of its three-point shooting in this last game against James Madison. I know that has nothing to do with it, but in my head, I can't get over like, oh, because we shot well in this last game, we can't shoot this well two games in a row, even though the games are separated by a week of practice and other action. But I think if Duke is going to come out victorious against Houston, a couple things need to happen, and one is that the guards need to be shooting at their best clip. Obviously, if we get an 8-for-12 performance from Jared Verkane from three, we're probably looking pretty good. But all the guards, Roach, Proctor, and McCain, need to be on their best shooting behavior, especially when we're able to get open shots. The offense has been run really well the past few games. I do think open opportunities will come against Houston, especially with how dynamic Kyle Filipowski is on the low block. I think he will draw double teams. I think he will. And when he kicks out, the open guards really need to hit it. And I want to specifically just say, I think Proctor needs to have a good game like he did against JMU for us to win. Tyrese Proctor is one of my favorite players on this team for sure, but he has, compared to McCain and Roach, he has probably been the one that has ebbed and flowed the most this year, where sometimes his scoring totals will be way lower and sometimes they'll be way higher. We need to see a good shooting Tyrese Proctor in this game, an aggressive Tyrese Proctor, a not scared to pull the trigger on an open shot Proctor, and I think he will be. I mean, you could see how he was playing against JMU. I think he went into that game with an aggressive mindset, a shoot-first mindset, and I think it really worked out for Duke because once he started hitting those shots, defense started getting really scared of him and McCain on the outside, and it opened up a ton of stuff on the inside for Flip and even guys like Jeremy Roach who are really good drivers of the ball. But yeah, first thing, got to hit shots and got to hit open shots. I think Duke needs to shoot probably 35% around or higher for them to win this game. Now, obviously, some of that depends on how many threes we're taking, but I think that's priority. Maybe not in that order, but that's number one, step one to winning this thing. Another way I think we could win is, as weird as it sounds, I think we will have a slight size advantage in some areas against Houston. Now, as I said, that might be confusing because Houston's very physical. But still, this is the third game in a row where Duke is playing a team where they don't have a kind of 7-foot big man on the court like Flip. We talked about Vermont in a kind of a preview of them. They did not have, they were at a distinct size disadvantage. We talked about it against James Madison. They didn't have anyone, I think, over, I don't think they had anyone over 6'9 or 6'10 anyway. And it's the same thing here with Houston. Now, again, keep in mind, they're physical, everything, but their two starting forwards are 6'8 and 6'7, and then the rest are guards. They do have a center that comes off the bench, but he's 6'9. So this is a game where Flip will have a very similar size advantage to how he did in the two previous games. Now, these guys are going to be a lot more athletic, but I would look for Flip to exploit that matchup once again. I think he's tall enough to see over the defense and, importantly, make passes to open shooters, because I think the strategy for every team beating Duke, I think, starts with stopping Flip, even though if you look at the last two games, they might be thinking we need to slow down these guards first. But depending on – I think – Flip gets the ball in the low post at the beginning of the year, at the beginning of the game against Houston. I think he will be getting doubled, and he's tall enough and big enough to see over defenders to kick it out. Guards need to be able to hit their shots so that when the guards ideally are hitting their threes, and it goes back to like single coverage, I guess you could say one-on-one for Flip in the post because they're too scared to sheet off of him. I think he will have a size advantage against whoever's guarding him, maybe not in the muscle department, but in the size department, and I think he can exploit that. So I look for Flip to establish a presence down low. He cannot pick up fouls in this game. As we've said, kind of nobody can pick up fouls, but especially Flip in this one. I don't think he can afford to pick up a lot of fouls. I do actually think Ryan Young will be able to give us some spot minutes just because they don't have like a dominating 7-foot big man like some other teams would. But we need Flip for the majority of this game, and I think he can use his size to his advantage, as he has the past few games. I actually think James Madison was kind of the perfect warm-up game for Houston, because like in a way they're a very similar team, just with less athleticism and less talent. No disrespect to JMU, of course, great year, congratulations, but they also have a star point guard that is by far their star player, who leads them in assists, I think even points, everything. It's the same thing, JMU for Houston. Also, JMU looking to turn you over, play really physical, play really active hands on defense. Same thing against Houston, but just to a bigger extent and a better extent. So I think we can draw a lot of what we did against JMU, hopefully use some of that again against Houston and at work. And it's the same story for Flip. It's like, again, you're playing against a guy who's 6'8", 6'9". You're going to be playing against a guy who's 6'8", 6'9", again in this game. I do hope that Mark Mitchell can be more of a factor against Houston than he was against JMU, because, once again, I mean, those are two 6'8", 6'9", guys. Mark Mitchell is that size and is a little more agile than your average forward. So I hope that with all the attention Flip is getting, he'll be able to find Mark Mitchell on some cuts to the basket, hopefully get some easy dunks like he was in the Vermont game. That's something that Duke could look to exploit too. But those are my two starters. One, guard's got to be able to hit their outside shots if you want to beat Houston. Just plain and simple. If we don't do that, we will not win. Two, I think Flip could try to use his size advantage down low, either to find open shooters or cutters to the basket, or if he's not getting double teamed, use the couple inches he's going to have against people who's defending him to get buckets. And that's what Flip's good at. Third thing, and I think this is the final one, and it's the most overarching, and it may be the most simple, but Duke needs to play with the same level of intensity on defense as they have in the first two tournament games. I'm convinced that we can shut down Houston's offense, and that we can turn this into a game where if we're able to score, we can win. I just think it's one of those things. I think our defense is probably better than Houston's offense. Maybe I'll regret saying that. I don't know. I hope not. But I think our defense can absolutely play with their offense. It's just a question to me of, is our offense going to be able to play against that Houston defense? This is one where I feel like if the offense comes out strong and is able to score and start strong, I think our defense is good enough to shut down Houston for long enough for Duke to win this game. But to do that, you have to have the same level of intensity and intentionality on defense as you had against JMU and even Vermont. Play really physical. You're going to have to play physical against Houston. They're going to give it to you. You got to give it back. And you know, look for steals like we have in the previous two games. Don't allow anything easy on inside if you're Flip. Block shots. If you're Mark Mitchell, stay with your guy. Take the opposing team's best player. We might even see him on Houston's point guard for some points of this game. If you're Proctor, don't let guys get open on the outside for shooting. We're going to have to play even better than we have against all these other teams, because I do think Houston's offense is better than JMU's and Vermont's, certainly. But it, as far as a kind of a matchup perspective, again, I do feel like Duke, the way that they've been playing defense, if they play it, I do think this Duke defense is good enough to win the game against Houston's offense. The question for me is Duke's offense going to show up on the other side of the court and be able to compete against Houston's defense? I do think Duke has had a good track record this season of playing teams with quote-unquote like elite defenses. Like, I mean, you think about teams like Virginia who hang their hat on defense. We have we starched them. And several teams this season, I feel like that, I don't have the stats in front of me, I feel like that have hung their hat on defense and been good defensive teams. We've actually come out well against on the offensive side. If it's a game like that, I feel confident Duke can win this thing. But again, it's all a matchup thing. For me, the game is going to be decided when the game hangs in the balance when Duke is on offense playing against Houston's defense. How much can we score against that defense? Because I feel like we'll be able to hold Houston to their season average or lower. I think lower on when they're on offense. To me, it's let's see what this offense can do against the best defense in the country. And the last thing, just matchup-wise, I think that's extremely important about this game is officiating. And I hate to say that because it's so scary, but officiating will absolutely play a massive factor in this game. Texas A&M shot over 40 free throws against Houston just in the previous game of the round of 32. Houston beat Texas A&M, in case you weren't aware. But they sent Texas A&M to the line 40 times. If the officials are that tight on the whistle, it helps Duke. As weird as that says, I know we don't want to get into foul trouble, but the way that Houston plays, they are so physical that if Duke gets a friendly whistle, we will go to the line a ton, and it is imperative that we hit free throws. And I just overall think that if the refs are calling this really tight, it favors Duke, because unless they're calling it really tight and one of Duke's guys gets all the fouls, like if Flip picks up three fouls like in the first half, then yeah, obviously that hurts us more. But from a team perspective, the looser this game is played and the more the refs swallow the whistle, the more it benefits Houston. But if they send us to the line that many times, we're not going to be like A&M. Like, we're better than A&M. You cannot send us to the line 40 times and expect to win, I don't think. So how officiating goes in this one could be a huge factor. I mean, this could be a thing where, like, if the refs call a bunch of fouls, it might get in Houston's head, and Duke might win this thing by 10 plus. There's a world in which that happens, where the refs are just seeing a lot and they're saying, you're not going to play this physical in the tournament, and we're calling that. And Duke could get to the line 35 times and we could hit 40% from three and everything's fine and dandy. On the other side, which I honestly think is more likely, I think they'll swallow the whistle a little bit more and we're going to have to be that much more physical. But I do think it was worth mentioning how this game is officiated is a massive, massive deal. Well, I think that's all I want to say for this one. Kind of a longer episode celebrating a win, but at the same time, looking forward to an awesome opponent in Houston. And let's remember, guys, they're a one seed for a reason here. I mean, they're expected to get to the Final Four, and this is the Sweet 16. And for them to go down this early would be a disappointment for them. But look, I feel confident in our Blue Devils. The way that we're playing is the way that we thought we were going to play from this tip of the ball at the beginning of this year. We're utilizing our talent to their maximum potential. We're playing really good defense. I feel good about this game if certain things bounce our way. For me, maybe the biggest question is, like, I really hope we just didn't have a great shooting night against JMU, and then we're going to have one of these like, now we can't hit. Now we're shooting 20% from three. That would just be a huge like gut punch and cut all the wind to our sails. If we're just missing open threes, it's going to be really frustrating. That might be for me the biggest factor of like, if this happens, Duke will win. If this doesn't happen, Duke will lose. So we'll see, but I feel good. Like I said, if I could have picked a one seed to play against, it probably would have been Houston. So now's the time. This is a big time for us. This is to go to the Elite Eight. Got a lot of guys that probably won't be with Duke for next season. So all of them have to be thinking about playing each game like it's their last, and a lot of the players have talked about how each game is a championship game for them, and take that mentality into this game. Hit your shots, play physical. If you get a good whistle, hit your free throws, play good defense, shut down Houston's guards, and we can walk out of this thing with a win and a trip to the Elite Eight. Appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be coming at you again, hopefully right after this game, hopefully celebrating. But we'll see. But all that being said, again, thanks to you, each and every one of you, for supporting this podcast throughout the whole year. As crazy as it is, college basketball is coming to an end in just a few short days. But yeah, appreciate you guys so much. Go Blue Devils.